Hot takes, heartaches, and South Asian stories that hit home for Australians. This is SBS Spice.
And while gendered violence is also a universal problem, it affects South Asian communities in a very, very particular way. And if we cannot tease out the culturally specific ways that are cause and effect for this type of violence, then there is little hope to understand resistances or to counter it.
Curious to hear more? Tune into SBS Spice on the SBS website or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to SBS News.
Have you ever heard an acknowledgement of country in a language other than English? Filipino-Australian Dr. Elaine LaForteza had not until she was an adult. Inspired by conversations in lead-up to the Voice to Parliament referendum in 2023, she's built an audio library of acknowledgements in 40 languages. The project's launch coincides with International Mother Language Day. Speaking with NITV's Phoebe McIlraith, Dr. LaForteza reflects on her relationship to First Nations peoples as a migrant and why more multilingual projects are needed in Australia.
When I came to Australia, I was 9 going on 10. And I really had no idea about what Australia was, what to expect, except it just was not home. So I was in the Philippines prior to that. Then we moved to the US. My mum and I moved to Australia. I didn't even know anything about Aboriginal culture or Aboriginal people. And the first kind of story that I heard about Aboriginal people was an ad when, because I used to watch a lot of cartoons. That's my mum's preferred parenting style is screen time, which, you know, no shade. I love it. But so I used to watch like a lot of cartoons. And there was this ad that kept when it was ad time. And it was like this blank, pristine image of Australia, the continent. And then this really quite scary voice saying, "Your backyard could be next." I didn't really know what that meant. But then this blank, pristine image of Australia, there were red dots that started to mar this space. And then the voice continued saying, "You could be next." And so in context, I migrated here early to mid-1990s. So during Native Title Act, when all of that was being passed through, that was my first story of Aboriginal Australia. And it made me scared. And I thought, Oh no, you know, like, we just moved here. Does that mean we have to move again? Very naive, didn't know what that meant, except that story still haunts me, Phoebe, because that's really made me think how insidious that narrative is, that it invited non-Indigenous folks to go, yeah, we're on this side, that there are actually sides to this issue. And so that story and that feeling has always stayed with me, and unlearning that feeling as well as I went through school and then met different kinds of people and just learnt more and listened more. And that was the first story that I heard about Aboriginal people in Australia or Aboriginality. And so I guess the short of this long story is that's kind of the story that propels me to be better and to know better.
From that being your first perception of Indigenous people, now you've spent 2 years building this audio library of acknowledgements in 40 languages, the Acknowledging Country in Our Mother Languages project. What inspired you to create this resource for multilingual communities here in Australia?
One of my besties is a Yuin woman with Japanese heritage. So she can speak, I guess, about First Nations, but also about our shared kind of Asianness. I'm Filipino-Australian. So I talk to a lot of, I guess, my community members, especially when the Voice to Parliament referendum was coming up. And just really, I was just being a sticky beak, really. Like, okay, I'm just, to be very transparent, I was trying to get people to vote yes in a subtle, as you know, when talking to aunties and uncles, like titas and titos, you gotta be a little bit strategic. But I did get quite a few responses which were really positive, like I told you yesterday, which was great. But I got a bit more of that apathetic response. Like, people said, you know, it has nothing to do with me, or why should I care? There was this real distancing and a lack of understanding that we're actually all on Aboriginal land and that matters. And then there were just really horrible, oh gosh, horrible views as well. And I thought, how do we talk together without fighting or, trying to make our claim or our perspectives, staking a claim of that and not listening to anything else. And I found that language was really important. So I speak Ilocano as well, which is my mother language. It's a language from the Philippines. Then I speak a little bit of Filipino, so I can drop a few phrases here and there or say some things that can't be translated in English or not to, there's no equivalent. And I found that really helped make people listen in a deeper, more authentic way, that we could actually have a yarn, that it was about sharing what each other thought. And it was, and I felt like, oh my, okay, speaking in language is really powerful. How do we build on this? I was on a panel with three UTS staff members. So one is Lachlan McDaniel, who's a Wiradjuri man. There's Anne Casey, whose mother language is Irish. And there was Netta Dowling, who actually doesn't work at UTS anymore, but she has Bahasa and Dari as her mother languages. So the panel was about what does it mean to speak your mother language in Australia, where, all of the languages that are our mother languages aren't really spoken in expressions of public life. And so why should it matter? And how do we feel about that? And what would we like to see happen? And I was really touched by Lachlan's story of learning Wiradjuri as an adult and his ancestor stories about how they were not allowed to speak Wiradjuri, that it was actually illegal. And then Anne Casey, from that Irish perspective, similar. So similar things. So I'm thinking, this is really interesting. We're in a migrant language story and a First Nations language story intersect, and the kind of solidarity we can, I suppose, foster from that can be quite amazing. Anne also shared an acknowledgement of country in Irish, which I'd never heard an acknowledgement of country in Irish, let alone any other language really, other than English. And I thought, oh, this is awesome. Can we do this? Because initially I thought I would love to translate the acknowledgement of country in different Filipino languages, but then I thought this can really maybe help with other culturally and linguistically diverse communities. So that's really where the inspiration from the project, yeah, I guess that's where it all stems from.
Alongside the audio bank, how can people interact with this project?
So it is quite audio focused in terms of the audio data bank, but we do have all these other visual elements to it. And we have, I worked with design students at UTS. What I really felt was needed was that storytelling and that story sharing aspect. So I didn't just want to hear or read the words. I wanted to know why. Why does it matter? Why do we care? Or why should we care? So we have the website with the audio, but we also have videos. So we have videos of individuals saying their acknowledgement of country and sharing the significance of that, why, and why they chose to do it, what it means for them as a migrant to Australia. We also have more of an explainer video of the project, which we have Auntie Glendra spearheading that. She's our, as you know, the UTS elder in residence. We have the exhibit, which is quite visual. So it's an audio visual immersive experience. So it's like a mini IMAX, if I can call it that. And so we've got video and photos across that, and then text, and then the words of the sounds of people.
You've described this as a living project. What do you hope multilingual Australians take away from this work?
Well, definitely would want people to figure out their own translation. And it's not straightforward at all with every participant in this project. I only think maybe a couple of us had heard an acknowledgement of country in our mother language. And in fact, we probably don't even hear our mother language that often in our daily lives in Australia. So it was a real journey for a lot of people, including myself. It was a lot of back and forth with my mum and then other people in our family, the ones that supposedly, because we speak Ilocano, but we don't speak the deep Ilocano, like in the way that should be in an acknowledgement of country, at least in the way that I wanted to craft an Ilocano one. And for a lot of people, some respondents even said, oh, this is the first time in a long time that I'd spoken to my family because of figuring out the words and what, translating it pretty much. One participant even asked quite a famous translator to try to translate it. This was our Italian participant. So I thought that's awesome. So I had their names and then their language, the translation, and then the English translation. And I was watching it live when people started, writing stuff. And I just got goosebumps because I thought, this is amazing. Like, this thing in my head is now an Excel spreadsheet that's being filled out. It was such a cool thing to witness. And in all these different languages, and some that I'd never even heard about before. I mean, the project is a living project. So even though we're launching on Monday, it's not like we're finished really. And we have on the website our email address, and people can email us if they see their language isn't there, so we can chase that up. And if they would like to provide a recording as well, and then we can put that up on the website.
You got to tell me about this.
See the breathtaking beauty of Australia with the man who knows it better than anyone else, Ernie Dingo.
Oh, my, amazing.
Going places with Ernie Dingo. Stream free on SBS On Demand.
And it's open to anyone who engages with it, not just UTS. Quite a few organisations have already expressed interest in it. So Settlement Services International, for example, especially for newly arrived migrants, Women of Colour Australia, as a way to connect, in the same ways that I've been saying, like to connect migrant histories with First Nations histories. And I'm hoping to engage as many stakeholders as possible. And they can already use the stuff that we have because it's there, and you might as well make use of it. But yeah, for sure, if people want to have their own project that's kind of the same or inspired by it, or want to do their own translations, or what I personally want to do the Filipino translations, that might not necessarily be housed at UTS, but as something like somewhere else, somewhere more community focused, is what I would like others to do, or what I hope others will want to do. Through for me, especially, is that it isn't really just about the words. The words are important, but to speak them with intention, and hopefully that will help people want to learn more, listen more, do other things as well to connect to country and support reconciliation. So that's what we don't want this project to be the be all and end all of what we can or what we should do, but it's a step and it's a guide, especially for people, I suppose. Yeah, I've always felt like conversations about reconciliation, for example, it's very white, non-Indigenous, and then Indigenous. And then I thought, what's my place or other people's place in this? And it's also kind of a loophole. That's why I got a lot of people saying, oh, it doesn't have anything to do with me. Or like, why should I care? Like, I'm not involved in this. But also to help people kind of think about, yeah, we're all here on Aboriginal land, and we may be successful, and we're living our lives here, but that's all based on ongoing dispossession of Indigenous land. But we can do something about it, right? We don't have to be hostile. We can react with care. And I think that's what is at the heart of the project, and I hope that is what is translated out onto community.
Stop. starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've give up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.